Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we cannot even express in words how awesome and how great you are. We are so grateful for your abiding mercy and grace that transcends generation after generation. Father, we lift up the next generation from Jubilee Church into your hands. And keep them faithful by your mercy and your power, and empower them so that they will live for Jesus Christ in their generation, and let them pass down this legacy of faith to their next generations down the road. And Father, we thank you for everything for this retreat, and this is our last stretch. We just want to continue to worship you even after this retreat. All the spiritual disciplines that we have learned, Father, let us obey and bear much fruit to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What problems do you face in your life? And what problems do you see for this country? And what problems do you see for many nations? Next question is, what do you do with the problems that you recognize? Some would put relationship with people first, seeking out advice from others when you try to solve the problems. Others will stress personal thought time for making plans to fix the problems and so on. These are important, I think, but there are more important than all these. Let me introduce Nehemiah. Nehemiah lived around 2,500 years ago, and he faced a big problem of his own lifetime. What did he do? What was the priority for him to fix the problem? And what is our priority when we face our own problem? So we are going to answer that question. Nehemiah, would you please turn with me in Nehemiah 1? Verses 5 through 11. Maybe we should read from verse 1 to 11. Okay. The word of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnants there in the province who survived the captivity are in great stress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Now it came about, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O God, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes upon open to hear the prayer of your servants, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servant, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you, and I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances, which you have commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, "If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you have scattered were in the most remotest parts of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. And they are your servants and your people from you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you that your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and prayer of your servant who delight to revere your name and make your servant successful today, and grant him compassion before this man. Now I was a cupbearer to the king." So there's some background to this story. Nehemiah lived around 446 before Christ. And this event is actually taking place 445 before Christ. Two key historical events that took place around this time was the fall of Jerusalem by Babylonians in 586 before Christ. We have been looking at that from Daniel's story. And another event that took place was the fall of Babylon to Cyrus, Persian king, in 539 before Christ. So Cyrus was humble, humane ruler, and he issued the decree permitting the Jews to return to their homeland to rebuild the country and to rebuild the temple. And the first Jews returned from exile was around 538 before Christ under the leadership of Zerubbabel to build the temple, which took about 15 years for its completion. And still, many Jews were left behind in the cities of Persia, and Nehemiah was one of them. So he was born probably in the time of Babylon and continued to live in Persian time. So it's about the 140 years that the first deportation took place in Israel by Babylon. And somewhat, Nehemiah still recognized he is the Jews. He's one of the Jews. And he kept his solidarity. Although his maybe grandfather or even father was one of the exiles, but he still kept his solidarity with his own country. He may be like some of you who were born here as a second generation from Korea or China or whatever the country, and you're you still keep the solidarity. It's not that easy to keep the solidarity because Persia was a powerful empire, and Nehemiah was citizen of a powerful empire, which can be a good thing to hold on to. But he kept his identity as the covenant people of God. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. Cupbearer is not just tasting the wine before the wine was served to the king. Actually, cupbearer is like a state of secretary, so to speak. He was very close to the king, and his mission was to protect the king and even give king advice for some national affairs and so on. So Nehemiah basically enjoyed a position of luxury and authority and power. And but what was the problem Nehemiah faced in his life? Look at verse 3 once more. "They said to me, 'Remnants there in the province who survived the captivity was in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates were burned with fire. What's the problem with these walls? In ancient, they built the walls around the city, and all the inhabitants lived within the wall. That was actually what was happening in Nehemiah's time in Jewish Jerusalem. Just like if you see some Chinese old ancient movies, or people live within the wall, and the enemy tried to attack. If you remember Mulan, there's a great war, and Huns were invading China. They built the wall, but the wall was torn down by the Huns, and it was open, and the citizen in China at the time was vulnerable to the invasion of the foreign forces. So those things in the context here. So Nehemiah see the problem that the Jerusalem wall was broken. And he loved his country and he loved his people, even if there's a disconnect for the last 140 years. He probably never been to Jerusalem, but he felt this is the problem that he faced. So what did he start with this problem? Look at verse 4. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Nehemiah did sat down with the Lord. He was mourning and fasting. He actually cultivated being in the presence of God. He didn't do anything wrong himself, but it was his problem. So he was mourning and fasting. Can you believe that? Which is not the problem that he caused, and yet he had that sense of urgency, and he put himself in the presence of God. And not only did Nehemiah mourn and wept, but he also fasted and prayed to God. And verse 4 serves as a preface to the prayer that completes the remainder of chapter 1. It says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Abraham Lincoln once said, I have driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go, and my own wisdom seemed insufficient for the day. So as Abraham Lincoln also put himself in the presence of God, Nehemiah didn't know what to do with that problem, because that problem was so big to him. So he put himself in the presence of God. And nothing matters more important than entering the presence of the Lord for Nehemiah to express his anguish about his people's need. And he confessed his inadequacy. I cannot do that, Lord. I have no capability. Please help me. And he also reflect on his personal response to the news from Jerusalem and seek the guidance about what might and must be done. And Nehemiah was saturated with his prayer. And his prayer was always seeking to clarify his own vision of who and what God is, and to understand the reality. So Nehemiah's mission was to build the wall of Jerusalem. He felt he should be the one who at least helped to build the physical wall of Jerusalem. But before he do that, he was building a spiritual wall for himself. And there are three stages that he did in building his own spiritual wall. The first step is looking inward with repentance. Before he's seeing the problem in Jerusalem, he was seeing the problem inside. So he was looking inward with repentance as a first step. Look at verse 6 and 7. What is striking about his confession is that he includes himself in the acknowledgement of these sins. Verse 6, second part, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Think about his prayer. He was confessing the sins of his forefathers and sins of the people in Israel, and yet that sin he confessed that he was a part of that sin. When you see the problem of, say, United States, we see a lot of problems, right? Every day there are news, tons of news pouring out through media that we have a lot of problems. We have problems with president, we have problems with parties, both Democrat and Republican, and so many problems. And what do we do with the problem? Have you ever truly looked inside of yourself that you are part of this problem? I think one challenge as an application from the Himalaya is the problems that we see in this country, and even the country where you came from, whether it's China or Singapore or Korea or Philippines, it doesn't matter. Nehemiah actually associated the problem of their country as part of his problem. And especially when we live in USA, we tend to act as if we are a sojourner, right? We're not necessarily part of this. And especially the problem that we face is not our problem. We tend to criticize people and blame people and so on. But I think as an application from Nehemiah, I think it may be our problem, truly. And our children will suffer with the problem. Do you agree with that? The problem that we face in this country, we may be suffering now, but our next generation will suffer with the problem. So it's actually our problem to solve. And it's our responsibility and duty to kneel down before God. And how can we fix this problem? And there are a lot of sins of this country. The sin of pride, especially. USA is known for spirit of pride. They think they are number one. I think we have to really repent of those sin of pride in our own prayer time, so that people would fear God, especially the leaders would fear God and humble themselves and be on their knees with this God of heaven, just as Abraham Lincoln was a prayer warrior himself. He saw the problem and he knelt down and asked God to help to fix the problem. I think it is our own problem. We have to really be convicted by that. We are part of this country and we are part of the citizen. And we need to really associate these problems that we face with as a personal prayer request. This process of repentance is very important in our spiritual building process. Nehemiah, repented with intensity. Day and night, he poured out his soul to God in verse 6, as we read. Day and night. It's about intensity. He was very serious about this problem. And there was also honesty about his repentance. He confessed with blunt honesty. We Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed sins against you. And he placed no positive spin upon the facts of sins. Why would the demolition of war be his own problem? But he took it because he wasn't part of the people who tried to repair. It's a sin of omission, so to speak. I think we complain about many things about the things of America, but I think we are committing the sins of omission. What do we do with this problem? We probably don't do anything, right? We just continue to see the problem, but not doing anything. That's a sin of omission. I think that's probably what Nehemiah felt personally. He didn't do anything to rebuild the walls. And there was also urgency about his repentance. He knew that sin must be confessed. That's the first step. Sin must be confessed. And he brought the sins of wickedness, disobedience to the commands and decrees and laws of God. And he was sensitive to the fact that all sins need to be identified and acknowledged and forgiven. As once confessed, Nehemiah knew that all such sins can be fully, immediately, and eternally forgiven when he confessed. So that's the power, right? Power of confession. We may not be perfect, but we can confess over and over again so that God would forgive our sins so that we can move from there. So repentance was internal cleansing, and we need to take, a shower every day, I believe prayer of repentance should be done over and over again. The second step of building a spiritual wall is looking upward to hear what God says. So first step is looking inside of ourselves to see if there's any sins to be confessed. And second step is looking upward to hear what God has to say. So Nehemiah stood before God. Look at verse 8 and 9. Remember the word which you have commanded your servant Moses, saying, "If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments, do them, and those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell." So Nehemiah actually was praying with the scripture. He was quoting the scripture, and he pressed on with God to remember this a promise that he made to Moses' generation. So he trusted the word of God, and he believed that the word of God has effect even in his generation. So he reminded God what God had promised. So he was banking on this thing. If you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you have been scattered or in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there. I will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. So he was banking on the promise that Moses, God did to Moses, and keep pressing on with the Lord. So I think his challenge was he has to, so to speak, take the leave of absence from his job in order for him to go to Jerusalem. That was his plan. But he wasn't sure if the king would grant him to take a long leave of absence. Correct? So it's almost impossible thing for him to be absent from the king, because he is a cupbearer, right? And it's kind of a tough situation, right? You have to take a long leave of absence to go back to Jerusalem, which probably the king may not even think of the problem. So he was pressing on with God and reminding God the covenant he made with Moses, and ask God to grant kingship for him. And so he trusted the word of God and his promise and his plan. And the third step he took was moving forward with confidence in God. So we see that moving inward with repentance and moving upward to hear what God says. And then he was moving forward with confidence in God. Verse 11, Nehemiah looked forward with confidence. Verse 11, he prayed, O God, I beseech you that may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name and make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. So although it will take a risk to convince the king of his plan to return to Jerusalem, and Nehemiah was confident in the Lord. I don't know where this confidence comes from, but I believe it's a through process of repentance and also based on the scriptural promise. So he think that God would grant him with his prayer. That's the source of his confidence. And he recognized also the most powerful king of the earth, which was Persian king, was just a man. If God wills, God will supernaturally touch the heart of the king so that God, the king, would grant his long leave of absence. That's exactly what happened after chapter 1. So he was able to go back to Jerusalem, and he actually built a wall, physical wall in Jerusalem, very quickly. It's just one of the impossible tasks, but he built it. But I think the lesson here is that before we fix the problem, before we fix the physical wall building problem, we need to fix our own spiritual wall building issue. So let's think about, what is your broken wall in your personal life? Is there any broken wall you recognize? And what is our church's broken wall? Do you see any issues that our church may face? And what is this country's broken wall? And what is China's broken wall? I'm not Chinese, but I pray for China so that they would not stand against the Lord. You know, I've been praying for China to be the last missionary country to finish this mission history. They have economy of scale. Whenever I go to China, I see that there are so many people. They can do it with the economy of scale. I'm still praying that China would turn out to be the center of missionaries to the world. But there are a lot of problems in China too. You know, their political atmosphere is not conducive to achieving what many people have been praying. Churches are being persecuted, and they lose their power because they are now scattered. You know, they used to gather in the public places. Now many churches have been shut down, and I pray in my personal closet that God give the fear of God to Chinese leaders, so that they recognize there is God. I pray the same thing for Donald Trump. I think he needs to fear God. All the sins that he has committed, he needs to repent. I support his policy, but I feel sorry for his personal life, so to speak. I pray for him. I pray for Kim Jong-un so that he would repent by killing those people cruelly, including his brothers, right? So I think it's our problem. Do you see that? The problem of this country, are they not our own problem? I recognize that, and we need to continue to pray for the leaders of this country and the nations so that God's purpose will progress. So what problems do you see in your own personal life? Are there any broken walls that need to be fixed? Ask God. There's got to be something. And I think we take these three steps that we learned from Nehemiah. Look inward to find our own issues, if there's any issues that need to be removed or cleansed. And secondly, we look upward, deal with God, asking Him what to do. And then, once we recognize the problem, we move forward, looking forward with confidence that God will open up different opportunities once we fix the problem. So I believe our church, Jubilee Church, is now building a spiritual war as well. How can we really raise the next generations without prayer? That's impossible, right? So, how can you expect your children to be faithful to God without your prayer as a parent? And how much more do we need to pray for these children in this congregation so that they would be different in their generation down the road? And what about this country? Isn't it not our problem? I take it as our problem. The global problem that we face is our problem. We are part of this human race, so to speak. And if we don't pray for that problem, who would pray for that problem? Nobody. So I challenge myself and to each one of you to sit down and then really inspect what words to be restored in your life. What problem do you see to restore, and begin to bring those issues to God and move forward with confidence that God will truly help us to fix that problem. Okay, let us pray. Father, where there is a problem, there is plan and promise that you set out. And we believe that no problem is impossible. But let us start looking at ourselves, deep down in our heart, to see if there's anything to be confessed before you. And Father, grant us success and grant us a blessing for this church. But before we do that, grant us your Holy Spirit so that we can inspect deep down of our own heart and to see if there's any problem to fix. And once we identify, Father, we ask you to pour out your blessings so that the problem that we see will be fixed by your sovereign will. Father, we lift up this nation, division between many groups, Father. And we want this country to see one thing, the renown of Jesus Christ. Father, that's the hope. That's probably the only hope that we may have for this country and for the nations, China, North Korea, Israel, India, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Singapore, Philippines, and Thailand, Cambodia, Father, and even the European Union. We see the big problems, and even Canada, Father, we see that many issues in that country as well, Father. But we know that your kingdom will continue to progress, and we have your promise. And Jesus will come back with authority and power. And until then, Father, let us truly be the kingdom citizen to build the broken walls of our own Jerusalem. Whatever that may be, Father, we know that they are under your sovereign will. And bless this church and bless our children, bless each man and woman in this congregation, Father, so that we'll be truly live for the sake of Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for everything you have done for us and what you will do through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe we have one more prayer to do. I think we need to pray for Jay's mom. I don't know what it was, but I was saying that, you know, as we worship, the stream of data, those binaries, 1010 and those things, was coming upon her head. So I don't know what that was, but I kind of interpret that maybe, you know, God's giving back her memory to her brain. So, amen. So, I could be wrong, but that was the vision. I just want to share with you so that we can maybe pray for her before we close out, maybe together, and see what God will do down the road. So, let's pray for Jay's mom. Family, and we lift up Jay's mom into your hands. Father, we bless her and we love her. Thank you that you sent her to this retreat so that we can pray for her. Lord God, we ask you to give back her memory, Father, and knock out all the dementia and any other related sickness. Just give her your original image. She is your precious and pretty and beautiful bride before you. And you have adorned her with the beauty and the blessings. And we ask you to restore our own self as you have made her to be. Father, we humbly present Jay's mom into your hands with humble spirit. And if there is any sin to be confessed, we confess sin on behalf of her. It is our problem. And but we also thank that she had faith in you, and that faith has been transmitted to her children and her grandchildren. We thank you for that. And we ask your divine touch. Heaven invades earth, and heaven invades her mind, and heaven invades onto her brain so that she will be recovered today. By your grace and by your power. Father, we thank you for everything, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anything to share? Let's pray